Now, part of what's before us are really useful forms of discernment on every kind of level. So we have the con man and the trickster in many forms. And for our purposes at the moment, we're going to say the con is the toxic mimic that imprisons. The trickster is the authentic thing that liberates. You know, so I love a friend of mine says, when people flatter you, they're paying you for what they're about to take, which is fun to think about. Because flattery is the toxic mimic, praise is the authentic nutrient. You know, so right now, we make these discernments like earnest, like, I want you all to feel the pain. I'm more sensitive than everybody. We go, earnest is kind of a con. Dedication is the real thing. To be unique, is to encourage and liberate everybody else into being unique. To be special is a celebrity kind of con. So we're playing with these things. And so I was also at many gatherings, and I'm an entheogenic enthusiast, and so at many of these different gatherings, but people, offered the opportunity of ecstasy and all, we're going, oh, my trauma, my trauma, my trauma, my trauma, the world, my trauma, my trauma. And I go, what's your trauma? And they go, I don't even remember, but I know I have it. It's the chief feature of my life. And I go, well, how about, we throw trauma into the cauldron. How about as a play, next time you're tempted to use the word trauma, you substitute it with the phrase, my beautiful, dangerous assignment.
Yes.
Yes. Because we say better a trickster than a martyr. Let's say that all of us, as a metaphor before birth said, land me in circumstances where I will learn everything that needs healing in the world. They go, we have an opening for you. Here you go. It's perfect. Right? So it's the challenge of metabolizing what we've been through into medicine. And it's a very liberating thing because, it's the initiation of Mars. It gives us that sizzle. It gives us that mission. The world is being destroyed by hyper-yang, Mars with no Venus, Mars with no context, Mars with no definition of what it is to be a hero. To be a hero is a protector, which is what's going on so well in Standing Rock. And, our friend Bob Goff is here from Standing Rock. He came down for this thing and, with filing reports, protectors, better than protesters, because protesters means grab your balls. I mean, it does, right? Which is why women cannot testify, right? Because it means to grab your testes. But we can ovify. We can ovify, right? So the dangerous, beautiful assignment is something to think about, who brought what? That whatever we've been through personally and collectively has created a medicine. It's part of the mystery that the oppressor actually seeks the medicine of what he or she is oppressing. England needed the metaphysic of India. We, in America, need the beauty, intrinsic, endogenous, underneath in the Middle East. A culture intrinsically of blessing and beautiful Syria, which we will honor in a moment. But right now, Mars and Pluto are together in the sky, which is that which has been... that which has been excluded is volatile in direct proportion to the forces of its exclusion. Boom. But the invitation, we need you, we need everybody. And again, the animation of this story, which is such a beautiful part of the Bioneers Gathering and these many medicine people with all of us with our beautiful, dangerous assignments, and again, who brought what? We need everyone. And that's also how we want to cross borders, because we want this unifying story. Because whatever happens in this election, the inviting of the very worst of humans, which has been what's going on, it then behooves us to invite the very best. Right? That's the antidote. Come, we need this beautiful part of you. We need this. We need the awakened imagination of right-wing golfers, inner city kids. We need everybody. Mm-hmm. Everybody. And that quality of metabolizing our kind of... when people go, if you knew what we knew, you wouldn't have a hopeful thought in your head. And it's like, we do know what you know. intrinsically colonial sneaky thing. We're just choosing to know that and to animate the desirable story. And also just in the grammatical imperative, when people go, do that, send that, sit down, stand up, it's very colonial, as opposed to if we throw the grammatical imperative, do that, stand up, sit down, do this thing, throw the grammatical imperative into the cauldron and ladle out, let's do this, let's do this, to throw even, you know, the habitual pattern of going, you know, and you need to do this. We're all in this dream together. You know, it's also part of my, you know, working with language, because if we track everything back to its original impulse before it gets forgotten or bamboozled, it really is liberating and reveals itself. The word privilege, right, means private law. It's like, well, it's perfect, right? But so much also, just, you know, Trickster says, we are big gods, we are big spiritual forces, we don't really care what you humans do, we care the manner in which you do it, that it be from freedom and choice. You know, to react to anything as a con is not free. To cultivate an ever larger repertoire of responses is to be allied with nature's evolutionary ingenuity, right? So I could use this word, and I choose, you know, and I could use these other words. To expand our vocabulary on every level expands our range of influence and intimacy. You know, language grants us access to the realm it describes. If we can speak of it, we can go there. So astrology is this exquisite language of the unique individual and psyche and their relationship to the whole large pulsing thing. You know, we're all in this thing together. How beautiful. So the throwing in and the ladling out. So I like, you know, again, the word impact, right, everywhere. And it's like, really, you want an impact? You want a short, violent encounter? You know, as opposed to a long-term curvy influence, you know. And then again, my friend David Grimes helped me out with that. He's like, but if you put a hyphen in impact, then you get imp-act. And I go, oh, I like that much better. We're going to have imp-act investing. And, you know, Oakland Hub impact, you know, that's more fun. So let's throw, you know, composting, you know, all shame or cringing, which is why Michelle Obama's speech last week was so powerful, really, to everything, because it was beautiful, uncringing, strong statement of Venusian beauty. In a way, it was one of the highlights in all kind of embracing in this powerful way. To toss, you know, hot reactivity into the cauldron and ladle out an ever-expanding repertoire of responses. You know, again, our language, our story, our metaphor. May our language, our metaphor, and our story be in accord with our dedicated hearts. You know, and when I say no prison for the unexpected, it comes from many different fun schools. In a crazy Gurdjieff school in London that was slightly suspect, but we lived in a bad neighborhood, and so we would take a word and imbue it with a powerful kind of protective quality. So somebody would come up to you on the street, you know, with a knife and go, give me your wallet, and I would just go, rutabaga. And they go, whoa, too weird for me. I'm going to mug somebody normal. Oh, okay, there we go. But again, just playing with things, you know, people say speak truth to power, and we go, it's still a little oppositional, still a little unworked out issues with daddy and stuff. How about speak truth, be power? You know, wife fool around. Yes. And that's why I'm very fond of the TV series Brain Dead. Anybody watch Brain Dead? All right, the front row and the back row, there we go. Just because it's so smart in its satirical taking on of everything, and it doesn't sound like you want to see it when you hear about it, because it's about space bugs from outer space that are eating half of politicians and other people's brains. But it is, because it's so metaphorically witty. But one of the things that when somebody's brain begins to be invaded by this, you know, colonizing force, the symptom is that it thrives on conflict. And they take on everybody. And so a symptom of having been taken over by space bugs is when people go, I'm just angry about everything, you know. And it's like, oh, I'm just, whatever. And it can be from any different angle. And also one of the symptoms of the space bugs is when people say, I will never compromise my ideals. And we go, oh, space bugs. Oh, God, they got them. You know, and other things like that. Anyway, but it's so kind of liberating and daring and amazing. It's like Esther Hicks channeling Abraham or whatever she's doing. But she says, you know, you don't want to keep banging the drum of what is. We want critique. Yes, critique. And that's why, you know, the power of Bernie was he was such an is such an effective magician, because we all have the magic mirror, right? The secular critic holds up a mirror, the secular critic within all of us, and goes, "Ah, look, it sucks in detail, really terrible." And then with a wave of the hand, the trickster part of all of us turns the mirror into a window, but look how beautiful it could be. And with another wave of the hand, turns it into a door, let's go. And Bernie was really great at that. If the Democrats take back the Senate, Bernie could well be head of the Budget Committee, which would be pretty cool.
Yes.
And Elizabeth Warren could be Senate Majority Leader. You know, so it's again long-term visioning, and people go, "Ah, but she didn't." It's like compost harumphitude. See the desirable. Yes, compost it all. Really important. Really crucial. Also, the most positive interview I did in Philadelphia was a woman. She said, "Call me a trans." Who she said, "When I was a man, I was a right-wing Republican, but now I'm a woman. I'm a Democrat, and I live in the heart of North Carolina. And I don't tell my neighbors I used to be a right-wing man. And I don't even tell my neighbors I'm a Democrat. But I'm running for commissioner, and everyone likes me." You know, and she said, I'm smuggling, you know, sanity into the thing in the heart of the kind of the oppositional realm. Wow. And she spoke the right language. She goes, "We have to demagnetize Trump's story, snap out of it, and magnetize the desirable story. You know, Venus magnetizes, Mars animates, and together they spiral, you know, within all of us, they spiral out into the world, the irresistible, all-inclusive story." You know, again, we need you. So we love that. And also, I just remember both in Syria and recently this conversation. In Syria with the Bedouins, when it was still beautiful, more beautiful and stable, but they were so savvy and so informed about American politics, more than most Americans. Mm. But they said, you know, in your country, when people say they're voting their conscience, how much does their conscience include? You know, I go, good point. Good point. This model of possession, you know, with the horrific, you know, violence of police on unarmed black allies, neighbors, parts of ourselves, and all of it horrific. But remember the black man on the ground, you know, who was caring for his autistic ward, you know, and he's like, no. And the cop shoots him, and he asks, "Why did you shoot me?" And the cop said, "I don't know." Mm. We go, so we want to charge the cops with possession, not of a substance, but being possessed, right? You know, and the mob mind, you know, it's even in a little way when we say, "I don't know what got into me. I don't know why I said that." And we go, possession, without getting all freaked out, it's a useful thing. And so again, that idea of changing the dynamic, and certainly, you know, against all odds, it's time to be, you know, just, you know, fantastic in our imagination. We want to completely redesign and reinform and restory, you know, what police are supposed to do. Police let us see police as not carrying guns, but carrying, you know, thermoses of turmeric and ginger tea, anti-inflammatories, you know, and pocketbooks of Rumi and The Art of Peace, going, sir, I notice you're a little disturbed here, some tea and something, and let me read you a poem, here we go, let's cool the thing out, you know, there
yes,
we go.
Please, all day long, can we have that?
So we say the world is on fire, let's be the bomb, B-A-L-M. Right, the bomb quality, you know, and we say, you know, to protect what we love, let's become more like it, you know, energetically. To protect wolves, become more like wolves. To protect water, become more like water. Adopt the partnership. Whatever we love, loves us. And I do always love to bring in the whales of San Ignacio as a great teaching, if you know, and guiding for us. So in San Ignacio Lagoon, there's an extraordinary thing, and our ally Michael Stalker, who's here, you know, first brought me there and goes there, you know, quite a lot. And it's an extraordinary thing. It is a birthing lagoon for the gray whales, and where humans have done unspeakably cruel things, you know, killing the whales while giving birth and the babies and stuff for a long, bad time. And so the whales, of course, were like, But there was, on the same day that the UN passed the Marine Mammal Protection Act, a whale came up fisherman Meyral's boat, and he was his panga, and he was terrified because, you know, but it wouldn't go away, and it clearly wanted him to stroke it. And since that moment, the whales, only in that place in the world, they want to commune with humans, and they bring their babies up, and they flirt, and they spray with you, and it makes us weep, and it's so powerful. And even the scientists, you know, say, I think they're forgiving us. Mm. And there was a terrible moment where Mitsubishi was going to turn that lagoon into a salt factory and destroy this very important place for their arduous lives. And Pancho Meyral, Harold's son, told us the fishermen invited the president of Mexico and his wife and child to come out in the boats, going, come see. And he said the whales knew what they had to do. He said they were never so beguiling, so charming, so fetching. And the wife of the president and the child were just weeping as you do with this eye gaze of playful kinship and profundity and forgiveness. And the president was like, I cancel the project. You know, and so I like to say, you know, the whales of San Ignacio did not go, you running dag, you know, dog lackey for American imperialism. They're like, no, we're just going to open your hearts until you weep. Mm. Right. And that's, I think, a medicine that we want.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
You know, and when I spent time in Syria and my wonderful friend, it was like a friend in New Orleans said she didn't know why she had felt such urgency before Katrina to take me everywhere precious to her. And in the same way, in Syria, you know, my friend Deborah Felmuth, married to Muawiyah, just was like, just this delighted urgency. When we drove up to Aleppo, she was like, mashallah, it's still here. Mm. Still here. So with the destruction of so much beauty and the destruction of the Bamiyan Buddhas and the destruction of Aleppo, you know, and the destruction of the Aleppo souk, the oldest continuous souk, you know, in the world for 2,500 years continuous until now, and the temple of Baal in Palmyra, which our guide so proudly told us this is why it will never be destroyed, because it embraces all religions. You know, you can see it all here. In its architecture, it had brass bolts surrounded by lead, so an earthquake, the lead would liquefy, you know, and the structure would maintain intact, and people from all over the world came to study that. And then again, all gods welcome, you know, until now. And so may it be that the beauty in the Bamiyan Buddhas, the beauty in Aleppo, the beauty in Palmyra, may the beauty encased in that form be dispersed as a diaspora into the world, into the memosphere, by the destruction of its form. And may it be also that in keeping with the beauty of the Bedouins, that we reframe refugees as pilgrims.
Yes.
Because the Bedouin tradition, we drove up to a Bedouin village and cold windswept and no cars, no Westerners. And my friend Deborah said, let's just knock on a door and ask to see the beehive houses, these ingenious hive houses that they create. And I'm like, really? And she's like, yeah. So we knock on a door. And beautiful woman with many babies opens the door and goes, yes. And then goes, strangers, how wonderful.
Wow.
How wonderful. Ooh, let me make you coffee and cake. No, we just want to see this thing. How wonderful. And the Bedouin greeting is, halu, change your direction and come this way. If we were to absorb the medicine we so need, we would say, goodness, oh, refugee pilgrims, you know, you must have traveled so hard, you must have endured so much, you must have stories to tell. Mm-hmm. They must be the stories that we need. Please come in.
Yes.
Now, that is the medicine we want to bring in.
Caroline, can I sing a song from I work with Iraqi refugees, and it's this little tiny girl, and it's a song about embracing the beauty of the world. It's 2 seconds. Amaya habibi, habibi eli, ya asfura baida, ya baantis eli, daya tabkhata, wada saykhada, anaya habibi, habibi eli. And she was 9, and she's this Iraqi refugee, and she was just sharing the song about the beauty of the world. Mm.
Yeah, no, and we're coming up on water.
Hey.
Water. Because the water grief, and I love one of our allies, Kalani Souza, and a beautiful online indigenuity that webinar that people can sign up for. But, you know, Kalani was saying water is the physical manifestation of spirit. And then he said this thing, which is actually a science thing, and Bob Goff has backed it up. Water is older than the sun. Mm. It originated from the gas cloud, and you can search it. You can go water before sun, and you go, wow, it's older than the sun. You know, water, again, kinship, the protection of water, to become like water. And so, Ami, guide us to water song. Huh?
Yemaya sesu, asesu yemaya, yemaya sesu. Asesu yemaya, yemaya olodo, olodo yemaya parawayo, yemaya olodo, olodo yemaya, yemaya sesu. Asesu yemaya, yemaya asesu, asesu yemaya, yemaya olodo, olodo yemaya barawayo, yemaya olodo.
We're all in this dream together. Thank you, beautiful Ami. And whatever we speak to on so many levels, there are so many levels of influence. You know, Jupiter right now would say to all of us, may we all be irresistibly eloquent storytellers for what we love. And whatever we love, loves us. You know, And the powerful story and the experimenting. So two beautiful people came to my house, wonderful herbalist, Robin Rose Wright, and she brought a young wizard, really, a young great wizard. Mm-hmm. And he said, I got to tell you, he said, I had an incredible dream, and I have to preface this by saying I don't like Hillary at all. But he said, but I had this dream, and in the dream, she and I are sitting having tea, and we're conversing deeply, and I really like her. And we look to one side in this incredible, beautiful river of golden light, this river of water and fresh water flows, and we're both struck with the beauty of it and feel profound kinship. And I go, that's a good dream. You know, and that level, you know, when Obama won the Nobel Prize, in Peace Prize, for which he was dissed, but at one of the XL pipeline, you know, not protest, you know, but whatever better word, you know. But these women in who ran a nonprofit in Africa came up and said, you know, he gave us this, our dedicated NGO dedicated to educating young girls, he gave us all of his Peace Prize money. Mm. And that night, you know, there were three of them there. They said, each one of us dreamed we all had tea with Obama in this wise council. Mm. So mythological. We entertain these possibilities. We decolonize our minds about what's possible. You know, we unharden our hearts. You know, I like to say when people go, how long will we have war? And I go, as long as we keep using it as a metaphor. And so this mesmeric trance, this directing atmospheric traffic, you know, let us be artists of atmosphere, public dreamers. You know, when somebody had come up to me at a KPFA craft fair a year ago and said, what about this, you know, idea there's going to be a terrible economic collapse, you know, in September? And I go, well, that's Ron Paul's kind of fear-mongering kind of a thing. But are we not aspiring wizards and magicians and witches? Where would we like economic collapse? Where do we want to direct that? Ooh, the polluting industries. There you go. There you go. Who's a good economic collapse? Yes, you are. Yes, you are. And that's what happened. Let's, you know, it's again part of the indigenous in all of us strategy. Let's make bad projects really expensive. You know, again, and you know, Shell withdrew from the Arctic because it was the board of directors says, you know, it wasn't. And just part of the dynamic, somebody brought a wonderful rabbi to my house, Rabbi White, who's an ancestor now, but we had such a great time. He was head of rabbinical studies at Georgetown, a big deal rabbi guy. But he was a scholar of Egyptian and Hebraic magic, you know, and so we had a great time. And I go, well, let me run this by you. I said, my challenge about the Abrahamic religions, I think of them as like shipwrecks on which barnacles and beautiful corals have grown. And he said, that's perfect. And I go, what a fun rabbi. Who's a good rabbi? Yes, you are. Yes, you are. What a fun guy you are. And so it's also part of, you know, what I like, you know, if we redefine forgive, not as to condone, but if we redefine forgive as to mean to give energy for change, then who couldn't we forgive, you know, to give energy for change and that blessing? You know, and I love Terry Pratchett's writings, you know, in I Shall Wear Midnight, the wonderful young girl witch, there's the cunning man, and the cunning man creates the mob mind. And again, it, you know, it possesses people, and they do terrible things, you know. And her task as a young girl witch is to dissolve the power of the cunning man on the mob mind. You know, and it begins with her helping the old patriarch to die, who had been an enemy. And she said, she's taking his pain away. And she said the first thing she learned in witchcraft was all about balance, how to let the pain flow through you, not into you. The center of the seesaw is neither up nor down, but upness and downness flow through you. And we go, ah. And in the last novel he wrote when he was dying, it's such a gift of incredible beauty, but... again, the young girl witch, Tiffany Aiken, and forces of badness are entering the world. It's kind of like campaign coverage. Okay, so forces of badness are entering the world, like, ah, and the fairy queen was bad, but she's turned sides. And so, you know, and she says, you know, you don't know what you're up against. And the witches are like, what? And she goes, no, the power of false glamour. Remember the word glamour. It means a bad thing in Scottish. It's a negative thing. It's witches who draw or nymphs that draw people to their death. And we've made a whole industry out of glamour. But she, the fairy queen says, and the witches are like, we're not susceptible to that. And the fairy queen says, let me just give you a little dose so you know. And she goes, poof. And they all go, ooh, and I am the most important of one of the 144 special priestesses of the New Age, and I'm great, and, you know, if I had the Ring of Power and whatever, and then they go, oh, but I am nothing, and I'm nothing, I'm just a... And they go, wow, that was strong. You know, and so she teaches them this chant, which I'm told in the We Free Men language is just 1, 2, 3, but the chant is Yan Tan Tethera, Yan Tan Tethera. And Yan Tan Tethera, you know, dispels false glamour and allows everyone to see things as they actually are, including themselves. And so I think just a couple of, maybe three times together, Yan Tan Tethera, Yan Tan Tethera, Yan Tan Tethera. So my coyote and I, you know, it's, again, sage against the machine, as Bob Goff says. You know, when watching TV, it's useful to have bitters, right? Carry bitters with you whenever you listen to the news, to chant Yan Tan Tethera with your beloved animals and creatures to Yan Tan Tethera, you know, to carry Artemisia, which incites new stories. You know, it's like, you know, have the icons around if you watch TV, or if you don't, we're doing it for you. And it's also just part of, you know, unbespelling ourselves, again, what we put into the cauldron. Something I find, you know, little small things that are quite liberating, liberate us from the con, even just, you know, from I've got to I get to, right? Just to throw, to switch the O and the E, you know, I've got to do, I get to do this thing, you know, I've got to whatever, I get to vote, you know, I get to vote and to vote come from the same thing. So did you want to do a got to, get to kind of a thing?
Okay, got to, get to, got to, get to, got to. Get to, get to, get to, woo-hoo. Yes.
That's good. That's good. So you can take that, again, put that in your pipe and smoke it. You know, take it home and play with it. So, you know, always, you know, the critique and the blessing, you know, and we're all holding ourselves to this standard. We can't even be who we want to be by ourselves, which is why it's so good now, this weekend, you know, whatever, to write our manifesto of dedicated devotion and go, oh, spirit of woof that animates the universe, oh, or however you address mystery, you know, hold me to this, you know. So I used to say, you know, if all, you know, all war is a failure of imagination, and it's like, where's your bleeping blessing, Caroline? So if all war is a failure of imagination, then all peace is a triumph of imagination. It's like, there we go. So, you know, the wonderful word ashe is a Yoruba word that means, you know, it's a sacred vow, you know, may the words incarnate into matter. You know, so if you feel this, then after, when I say this, then we would say ashe. We hereby dedicate to being public dreamers.
Ashe!
Excellent. So, rousing song?
Yes.
All right.
You all know the song. So if you do feel it in your bones to stand and dance, let's raise up the smoke of that
cauldron. This is our finale woof.
Yes. Oya kaka chango predula, hey, oya kaka. Oya kaka chango predula, hey, oya kaka. Chango predu samayo, ma 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 samayo. As we walked through the forest and danced the drums by firelight, we could feel our spirits soaring, sailing upwards into the night. As we sang all our chants to Odisha, native spirit, Hindu, Buddha, pagan, moon. And as we threw stones and bones down onto Mother Earth, we could hear this ancient tune. But we are the witches and wizards, and we have been burned. We are your power source within that you must learn. We're intuition crying to be heard. We are the witches, and we have returned. Give me a howl. As we were hearing your voice calling our names, Maya, 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 in the water, in the air, in the creatures everywhere. Da 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 da. But we are the soldiers and we have been burned. We are your power source within that you must learn. We're intuition crying to be heard. We are the soldiers and we have returned. Although chains try to enslave us, and though whips they cut our flesh, evil ones were forced upon us, but our spirits they could not crush. Through gas chambers and slave ships and remnants of a war, we've survived through our children and our chants. And the bones that lie in the womb of Mother Earth hear us through our singing and our dance. But we are the mystics and we have been burned. We are your power source within that you must learn. We're intuition crying to be heard. We are the mystics and we have returned. But we are the witches and we have been burned. We are those mystics deep within that you must learn. We're intuition crying to be heard. We are your conscience and we have returned. We are your conscience and we have returned. Ashe!
Woof. So we owe it to the world you know, to get to our next important problem, which is a resounding defeat of all of the demonically possessed, you know, Trump and all that it represents. You know, we do owe that, and then we get into our next interesting challenge. So the beautiful word, you know, is, yes, thank you. Thank you, wild wolves. we want to, this beautiful, powerful word, it's an Amharic word, aizan. And it means support and encouragement to embrace challenge when embarking on a difficult journey. Mm. So may it be a reciprocal blessing that to each of us we say, Aizan.
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 Thank you, team. Thank you, Emma Kayla Gaston. Thank
Caroline
you for doing
Casey.
This.
Give it up.
Thank you, team, for doing this beautiful work. Mwah.